All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players.
This week's guest, former Philadelphia Phantom, Danbury Trashers tough guy, Diamond Dave McKaysey.
Time to face off.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. What is going on, Nasty?
What's up, Regalia? Top of the morning to you. It's just daylight now.
You're just getting up, buddy. I've been up.
I've been up for a while. I even heard a couple mockingbirds out there.
Mockingbirds. How's the body holding up? You recovered from yesterday or what?
We had a nice little one-on-one yesterday. You kind of took it to me a little bit, but that's all right. We're going to be teammates this weekend, so I'm not worried about it. It was playful. It was fun.
Yeah. How's the bod? A little sore?
Dude, when you're 35 and you work out, you know?
You take care of the temple like that, there's no inflammation.
As you would say, Danger Bay.
Danger Bay.
Phil and I actually feel pretty good, but we only played for 2 minutes.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I'm not gonna lie, I feel a little bit in my legs, a little bit in my low back. Just a little bit, just like something a little bit different going on.
Gotta
there.
Get the old body check wellness lotion out and get it on the back, loosen it up a little bit. I did do that last night, actually. I forgot to tell you that. I did do that. I put nice. It's unbelievable.
It really does work, yeah.
It's my Sudsy used it on his knees before he had the thing replaced. He was like, it was life changing for the few weeks before he did his. He actually needed an operation, but
it works. We're all battling inflammation and we're all trying to recover. So trying to remove that, but get some reps in, right? I mean, get some reps in before the big tourney this weekend.
Couple little. Top shelves, we'll say. That's not what Elvie says, but a little couple top titty shots. Trying to get our team in order.
Yeah. Testing out the Toby. Toby was a nice addition.
Yeah, yeah, you have the Tovey. Mine's coming today, I think. I'm pumped.
Yeah.
To our boy Aaron and John. So I said, I need my Tovey for this weekend, boys.
Oh, that's a big weekend.
Big weekend. Four more days. 4 days.
4 days.
And we got the Nasty Knuckles Ball Hockey Tournament, joined by the National Ball Hockey League. It's going to be a great weekend. Hopefully, beautiful weather, knock wood. It looks like it's going to be beautiful. Everybody, come out, see us, hang out.
Yeah.
Did you make sure Ash knows that it's going to be bikini weather?
Oh, yeah, she knows.
In,
she got the
in
memo.
The booth? Oh, okay. Okay.
In the booth, you're on the bench.
Oh, she's not? We need cheerleaders, for God's sake. Oh man, it's summer. It's still summer, but it's not, I guess. I guess it's not summer anymore. But
no, it's definitely been cooler. The fall is upon us.
It is.
What's going on in the world of the NHL? Flyers? Anything going on?
I think the only thing going on is the boys are pumped and ready to get going. You know, there's a lot of guys in town, which is great to see. They had, you know, finished up their development camp.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys are back. It's nice to see Hollywood Hayes was out on the ice last week, skating with the boys, looking good. And, you know, I just think from talking to the guys we've talked to, they're just ready to go, man.
Oh,
they
yeah.
still got, like you said, 37 days. Rico Desjardins.
Yeah.
37 days away. Yeah, man, it's getting starting to get ramped up here. You know what it was like at this time. 37 days seems like a long time, but then you kind of look at it. That's still opening day. That's still opening night.
Right.
So, you know, it's getting ready to start, man. It's I think everybody around here is excited, and they should be. Chuck did a great job this summer, man. He brought a lot of, you know, a lot of pieces in. I think we'll miss a couple that are gone, but I think the job we've talked about that they did there is going to be, it's going to pay off. I really do.
Yeah, I think so too.
They're going to have a really good year.
Yeah. There's a little more buzz when you go into the season with that extra ammo, and, you know, especially you have a disappointing season last year. Everyone's expecting more results, and then you build the team up a little bit, and, you know, everyone's excited to get going and just, and say, prove the haters wrong and just kind of get back to the winning ways and,
yeah,
have a great season. Sure. So I'm looking forward to following and seeing some of this, you know, manifest into the season, because, you know, some of the stuff we've talked about, I mean, the expectations are high.
They're
really high across the board. So,
and I think the guys understand that, and their expectations are high
too. Oh, sure. They should be.
And, it's going to be a fun team to watch. I think they're going to, you know, like we've talked about the additions, we don't have to go through all that again, but I just think they addressed a lot of what needed to be addressed.
Yeah.
In our opinion, you know, so, pretty cool, man. Excited for it. Throughout the six nominees.
Oh yeah.
Today for the Flyers Hall of Fame, which I say every one of them should be there, but I know it doesn't work that way. But, Mr. Holmgren, Paul Holmgren, Rick Tocchet, Simone Gagné, Degagui, Lou Nolan, our boy Lou, Elvie's best buddy. He used to always say every game, he always text me, say, tell Elvie I got his spot here. So Elvis would always stand beside Mr. Lou. Mark Recchi, God, what a career, man.
Yeah.
You talk about someone who started, not that he never took care of himself, but he took care of himself to play as long as he did. And he was an effective. I remember his last year in Boston, like when we were playing against him, like this guy was still a player.
Oh yeah. He scoots, and man.
My favorite thing about Rex was not the, obviously he was an all-star player his whole career, but he had an edge, man.
Oh,
this guy had an edge, and I'll never forget when he was playing in Pitt, and Peter Forsberg had just gotten ripped a new butthole. Along with Hatch and you were on the team. It was you may not have been there quite yet. You came at the end. I
came at the end of that year. Yeah, because I broke my ankle over that season. Yeah,
Johnny called the captains down after the first period, and Pete's Fopa says, "I'm done," and he like walks out. And they're like, "Wait, you're done?" And then all of a sudden, he goes back down, gets fully dressed, goes out, he damn near decapitated Max Talbot, and he hit someone else in the same shift, and Mark Recchi was going absolutely bananas. He wanted to kill somebody. But anyway, I love the way he played. And then our boy, the hound, Bob Kelly.
The Hound. I mean,
what a man. Just a great human, and had a lot to do with their success, the two back-to-back cups there. So congratulations.
Yeah, not to mention how much he's done in the Flyers community for how many years. And
yeah,
still grinding, still poking his head out there and showing up at every event in the community. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, exactly.
But some big names there.
Some of my favorites. I mean, obviously, Rick Tocchet as a kid, man, he was my favorite. He's a good buddy, and what a player he was. He got to play with a few good players, eh? Gratz, Lemieux.
Not bad. I thought they were going to squeeze in number 32 in there, but just never didn't quite happen this time around.
Maybe they'll get him in there one day. I remember real quickly when Talk was playing with LA. It's when I got my first Gretzky stick, the silver Easton, you know, the wood blade, because they carried so many around because he was having to sign them all the time. But anyway, Talk says to me, he goes, "Hey, tell that big ape down there, Big E, you know, like, take it easy. I don't need him coming after the moneymaker," because he had a bad back. He says the moneymaker.
The moneymaker.
Tell Big E to take it easy, because they'll be messing with the moneymaker. I said, okay. I'll tell him. But anyway, congratulations to those guys. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. Yeah. Good
Can't
stuff.
Can't go wrong with any of those choices, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's the truth. All right, Nas, what do you think? If you hop in, episode 39.
I think you guys are going to enjoy it. If you haven't seen the Netflix series, Untold Crimes and Penalties, you have to watch it. It's unbelievable. And our next guest was there.
Yeah, he was right on the ground floor.
Yeah, ground floor captain.
Front row seats.
Diamond Dave.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, brother.
Welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Suttlemyer. And this week, we're very, very happy to have my main man, Diamond Dave McIsaac. What's up, Big Mackers?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, making out. Good to see you.
You too. You too, for sure.
Had a little ball hockey game today with Mackers. He was out there playing right-handed with a Toby stick. That's how good he is. No fake slappers, though. Not today.
Oh, he was moving.
Yeah,
he was moving.
The most I moved in a long time.
Actually, I was dying. I shouldn't admit that, but I was like dying.
Oh, you and me both, man. That was serious. Whew. Getting all prepped up for the big weekend. You're looking light out there.
Big weekend. I think Mac, you should be coaching our team. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm gonna stop by for sure.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we could use some hockey insights after. Need some strategy when we're just dying out there.
Bring the oxygen.
For sure. Oh, man. So, Mac, what's going on, man? You got some news. A new hire. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I got named the new coach of the Danbury Hat-Tricks in the Federal League.
Beautiful.
Forward to that. Still trying to build my team a little bit. So if you guys know everybody wants to come out, Rye, if you want to come out for a couple of games.
Yeah. So I saw a couple of weekend PTOs and
you're in. You're in. First line power play.
Yeah,
right. Max paid big presence. Bucks. Max paid big bucks.
Oh yeah.
I asked him if he needed an equipment guy. He said he couldn't afford me. I said you'd be surprised. He probably could.
You're taking offers, Nas.
A couple lap dances. I'm good if they've got a rippers there. I'm kidding. I would never go into a place like that. Anyway, so that's awesome, man. How'd that all come about, Mac?
They needed a coach, and I was available. I got fired from the skate zone last November, so I was just timing was good.
Yeah, you've had a couple of stints there, right? One's coaching before and obviously played there.
Yeah. So I'm familiar with the city, which made it a little easier. And I know what worked and what doesn't work in that minor league system there. So I think it worked this time around.
Nice. And how many teams in that federal league?
There was nine. I think they were down to seven because of COVID and a couple of things.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Right on. You're now,
how many games will you guys play, Mackers?
It's 62 games. The furthest west we go is Port Huron, and then we go down to Columbus, Georgia, and South Carolina as a team.
Oh, wow.
And that's territory.
Yeah, yeah. So, us rednecks, we like hockey down there, man.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, speaking of Danbury, obviously the biggest, one of the biggest things going right now, everyone's talking about on Netflix, is the Untold Crimes and Penalties, which you were a part of, man. Thank God you're here. You didn't say
yeah, right.
But it's so funny, Mac. Like I started getting messages, I guess. I'm not sure exactly when this came out.
That's Tuesday.
That's about when it was. I started getting all these messages from like men's league guys, guys from the Flyers that I know.
And, imagine how many messages I got. And I haven't heard from guys in 100 years.
Yeah, right.
Right. I can imagine.
I can't even. And so I'm like, I see the name of it at first and I'm like, not even putting two and two together. Then more started coming in and Zach Hill messages me, the best PR guy in the National Hockey League. And he's like, you have to watch this. Like, he's like, and then he's like, Max in it, Frankie's in it, Garrett Burnett. And I'm like, oh, okay. Now I think I get what this is about. So of course I watch it that night. And I started messaging you because I'm like, I remember back when you were playing there, that you told me a few things, but I didn't realize it was that big of a shit show. Like, I had no clue. And usually you would tell me like when something's a real shit show. Yeah. And I mean, you kind of insinuated it and told me a few things, but dude, like, wow. Like that show, like people, I'm getting mad. I still today, I got more messages. I'm like, I've seen and I know, just wait till we got the captain on the show. But man, like when I saw the very first part of the show, I don't want to give it away to people who haven't watched it yet. But when I saw the commissioner he starts talking about AJ.
Yeah.
And they show this kid, he's flipping his hat around and he's got the big, I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? But what were your first impressions? Like,
yeah, well, I dealt with my first year. It was me and Frankie went up on the weekends and just played home games there. So he was paying me, I don't know how much he paid Frankie, probably more, but paid me $1,000 a game, which was crazy. I was working at the skate zone making less than that.
Right? Yeah, right.
So I thought it was crazy. So I dealt with that T-Bone, the trainer there. He got me. Yep. He's friends. I think he's friends with your dad.
He is, yep.
And
yep.
So he called me up and got me there the first year. And then I just quit my job at the skate zone. I said, I'm going up full-time next year.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
It's so funny for people when they're watching it. I didn't realize that was Tony. I didn't realize that was T-Bone. And I knew him. Obviously, I worked with him when he was with the Rangers at Scranton, I believe. But I didn't recognize him because he's got the shaved head. He's got the big glasses and he's got the cigar going. And I'm like, who is this guy? And then they start saying the equipment guy. And then they show him. And I'm like, oh, my God. I know this guy. Like, I was blown
I
away.
He was the mob boss.
I did, too. Yeah. I did, too. Like,
what the hell's going on?
Once they showed pictures of him when he still had a little bit of hair, you know, and his facial hair, then I'm like, oh, my God. I had to pause it. And I'm like, I can't believe this. And then I kind of remember you telling me, oh, do you know him? And I'm like, yeah. Back when you were playing.
But right.
Anyway, I'm sure you've got a million stories, but, like, I don't even know where to begin, but like that second year, you're the captain of the team. Yeah. The kid did a pretty damn good job of getting guys in there.
Yeah, he did.
For an 18, by that time, I guess he's 18, right? Because it's
still, man. Like,
but I mean, holy shit, man. Like,
yeah, but like money talks, right?
So yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Your dad around.
Bags of it cash was, around.
I was talking to Snowy last night on just texting him, Garth Snow from the Flyers. Yeah. And, he was real close to going, him and Wino.
Yeah.
Eric Weinrich. Because it was a lockout year the first year. And I was trying to get them to go up there and they were really thinking about it. It's always like, shit, I should have went.
So like,
who doesn't love bags of cash? I mean, why the hell would you go? I mean,
right.
Jeez. I was just, I'm still blown away like with some of the stuff that was going on. But like, did you ever like have, you must have had an idea something fishy was going on there. I mean, like bags of cash guy says he's coming and throwing 10 G down, boys go have fun. You know,
yeah.
Like
so the second year, that was the first year, all the bad, like that's how he paid guys in cash. The second year was a little more legit. I think he tried to do everything, not by the books, but more by the books than the first year. So
a little paper
trail. Yeah, it was checks, not cash.
Yeah, right. Shut up.
Didn't you have like three jobs you didn't even know about or something?
No, but that's another part of the. I'm the only one. I actually did work for the trash company. I was sales. I was in sales and collections, and
collections.
Huh? Yeah, so Jimmy used to bring me in his office when people were in there, and he's like, yeah, this is my guy. He collects some money for me. Like thinking that I'm breaking people's legs, but that's not how it went.
You're a teddy bear, man. Yeah. No, man. Oh, but you're a tough dude, though, I'll tell you that.
It was a well made movie, man. I'll tell you what. Like you know, I knew a little bit about the storyline, but nothing like as detailed as the doc represented it. It was well done.
Yeah, it was. They combined 2 years into 1 year in the doc, but it was it was all spot on.
Yeah, it was. Hey, yeah. Yeah, that is interesting. talk about like building a community, though. You know what I'm saying? I mean, rallying a city behind you. Like they did a really good thing.
He did so many good things for that city. He built a hospital wing. He built a football stadium. It's a shame that the feds wanted to get him so bad.
Right. And
I think at the end of the day, the prices of trash hauling went up when the feds took over when he was there. So crazy. Wow.
So your second year there, you're the captain, you're there full time, obviously, like we talked about. Was it like, you know, we've heard the stories. You remember Josh Gratton? We had Josh Gratton on. He played for the guy in Russia. Had the guns. I know we'll get to your Russia time too. I know you got a couple stories, but Josh is like, this guy's got guns on his hips and he's coming in. You better do this. Was it ever like that? Or did you just kind of know he wanted?
Yeah, it was sort of the vibe. Like we knew what they wanted, but I remember one time it was, we had a bad first period or something, you know, there, and he comes in the locker room and throws a couple tennis balls on. These are the only fucking balls I see around now. And he's like, you guys better fucking wake up. And he's like, Mac, you got LeBlanc.
Here we go. So he told you what you were gonna do.
Yeah.
That was the old man, not AJ the son, right?
Yeah, the old man. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Then it means
So did the kid ever come down and AJ ever come down like that?
He was more like in the office doing the business stuff and he'd get guys like if we need guys and stuff.
Right.
More of the GM that way.
It's funny during the documentary they're showing like him in the stands and he's flipping off, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, here's your president.
Well, that happened. You'd always have like you'd be staring like the bench was directly facing them. So Jimmy was the intimidating one. JJ was, you know, he's just a kid, but he was the boss. But you'd always be staring at Jimmy, and you'd always knew what he was thinking by the way he looked. Right? It was
just... I can't imagine having him those eyes staring at you all game long.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny. It's crazy, man.
So. Moving, I guess, a little bit further on in your career, you land up coaching there after the fact, right? Was it the same type of, obviously not the same organization or ownership anymore. It was completely a new league.
Yeah, it was the Eastern Professional Hockey League or something.
It wasn't the Federal League yet.
Anyways, the owner went bankrupt 2 months in. Me and the players didn't get paid from November until April. Paid there, which was amazing to... These guys couldn't eat. Like I had another job at the rink, but players didn't have anything. Right.
And they stayed and played.
They stayed and played. Like the fans gave them some money sometimes. And then another team in the league gave them $500 to buy groceries. And
oh my God.
Crazy stuff. God. Yeah.
Jesus. You never told me that one.
So that league folded. And then
that team folded, obviously. And, I think the league might. I don't know. League might have went on another year, but not with that team.
Okay.
I got one more question about the Trashers before we keep going. I just want to ask you about that commissioner. Did he ever have to come into the room did he ever address the team? Because in that documentary, he was, I think that's why he's bald. Actually, yeah. He's bald. Yeah, he's bald. But he was, the poor guy was losing it. You could see the look on his face. He was the most distraught looking human.
Yeah.
And I remember at the beginning when he says, you know, I'm meeting with the old man and everything seems good. And then he says, I bought it for my kid. And he's, they show the clips of his kid. Right. And he says, this kid comes in. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
Did you ever have to address the team about the rough stuff or?
No, but what happened was the first year I played, I think it was the eighth game. And then we got in a line brawl in the eighth game. So he suspended everyone for the rest of the year. I got suspended the rest of the year.
Really?
Yeah, of like the ninth game I played. And it was funny. I was telling the story earlier that so I was suspended. There was probably 12 or 13 games left of the season. I didn't play any of them. The playoffs come. Jimmy wants to pay me to come and sit behind the visiting bench. Just sit there. Not play a game. Sit there.
Come on.
So he paid me $1,000 to just sit behind the visiting bench for the game.
Come on.
Funny. Yeah.
Were you heckling?
Well, the other teams come off the bench and they see me there. What the hell is this guy doing?
Just getting in their head, right?
Yeah, right.
Strategy. Yeah. Good use of money. Like, I love it.
Blows me away, man. The whole thing, man. I wish it was like 3 hours long. I would have sat and watched it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It was like a comedy. The first half, that was every time they showed, you know, AJ on there, I was dying because it just like it was just like, you know, something you've never seen before in hockey, you know, like,
yeah, in hockey. And then the guys on SportsCenter, you know, like, he really did build.
He's on all kinds of podcasts now. I don't know if what other ones you guys should get him on.
Well, we saw that he just was on a couple, but Ryle said he looked at his Facebook and he hasn't posted anything in like 5 years or something.
I found his more updated one now.
Oh, you did? Oh, he has more. Oh, my bad.
There was a couple pages.
So he's doing well now with his boxing, and he's got this heavyweight guy. His name's Fly Mike, and he's in the Tyson Fury undercard.
Oh, wow.
I was talking to him last week. I was asking if Fly Mike could skate.
Oh, yeah.
So
sign
you
him
can
up
get
for
him,
a couple
so
weeks.
Is he a good kid though? Like, was he?
Yeah, he's a great kid. Yeah, really awesome. Down to earth, really nice. Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
That's awesome. Are you still looking to fill a couple roster spots with some meat? Is that strategy still in play in the minors?
Yeah, well, that's what that section 102, right? The crazy fans.
Yeah, so still, hey, that doesn't
they're
change.
They're still there, so not the full boat of them, but the the core section still there. So
there's some beauties. There were some beauties in that pile, man. Yeah. Oh my god. The best is at the end when the commish is with him. He's in the stands. I'm like, guy got paid. I don't, because he's fell in love with these people. Like, he got fucking paid for sure. I don't care what anybody says, but it was awesome. But anyway, Mackers, like you said, you ended up coaching there, and you've had a couple coaching stints. So you know, bronze medal win, didn't you?
Yeah, I took the Icelandic national team to the World Championships 1 year. We won the bronze.
That's pretty awesome.
That's
man.
That's awesome, man.
Congrats. I didn't know that.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Your leadership. I didn't realize either that how many teams were you a captain of too, you know, in your pro career? I mean, there were
a few.
Five or?
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Nice, man.
You know, we'll get into your Phantom days, which were just some of my favorite years I ever had in professional hockey was those first few years with the Phantoms. But I'll tell you what's weird is when you got a guy like Mac, you know, I was tight with Mac, Frankie, obviously. And then they're on other teams. It's not like it never happens, but we were such a tight group of people. Yeah. And I remember Mac going to Kentucky. And we were like, believe it or not, kind of rival. We kind of had a little bit of a rivalry. Yeah. That nothing like we did with Hershey, but there was kind of a rivalry there. And I remember the first time we went, came over and had dinner with you, and it was just weird because like Max on the other team. And then we had, remember, Gary Burnett ended up in Kentucky too. And I'll never forget Billy. Tell stories about Billy for days, but Bernie's playing in Kentucky, Riles, and he's being himself. He's running around like a donkey. And Mac, I don't know if you were still with us or you may have been.
I think I was still with you. Cause I fought him that year, the year after we won.
Yeah. So I remember
something else that happened.
We were in Kentucky, Riles, and Bernie was running around a bit, and Billy wanted Frankie to fight him. Bernie lived with Frank when he was here. Okay. And we had won the, like Max said. And I'll never forget Billy going, I want you to fucking talk to him, Frankie, and don't give me any of this friends bullshit. And I'm just like sitting there going, but Bernie was pissing everybody off, but that's what he was there to do. That's I mean, he was, you know, he was doing his job, you know, and he was talking shit. You know, and I saw that picture. Did he must not have been at Danbury very long. He seems like he'd be a perfect guy there.
Yeah.
Like with his whole just everything he does, you know. But it was tough to see like Mac playing on another team. You know, I mean, God, where were you? Lowell?
Well, I remember playing in Kentucky, and I think it was Johnny's first year coaching.
Oh, was it?
So he was really strict with the curfews and all that. we're all blitz and the night before, and Johnny calls, get these guys home, Nasty.
Yeah, right. And Riley, we used to go. It was one of my favorite places to go because in Kentucky, you're right there, UK, like it's a college town.
Right.
That time, you know, I'm only 35 now. I was like really young, but I had fake IDs so I could get in. No, but seriously, we would go into Kentucky. We'd play Friday, Sunday. There's no practice facilities. Saturday is just a day off. The guys had to go ride the bike at different times for a half hour, sweat it out. Because Billy knew. That is one thing about Billy. Yeah. He knew.
Yeah.
Because he was out too. He was out doing his thing.
Yeah.
And but we would get in there Thursday night. The players, some could. Mac was usually with me. We go to two key. We had our spots we went to. But you would talk about a rodeo for Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. Because we didn't leave till Monday morning.
Oh,
but he made that damn flight at like, 7:30 a.m. max? So I'll never forget. Craig Darby's coming onto the plane. Crippled. Like, still, like, you don't go to bed. The place stayed open until 5 a.m. It was called Last Call, but we called it Last Chance. And, like, I'm sitting beside Billy on the plane in the front, and you can hear Craig Darby. He's so loud. He got a little sandwich. He had food all over his face. His suit looked like he threw it on the dance floor, jumped up and down on it for 2 hours, dirt all over it. Comes walking on. He's like, Billy, you know, like Billy's shaking his head. And we had lost. And then 2 minutes later, they hadn't turned the plane on yet. They're waiting everybody to get on. And Darbs goes, turn the fucking air on. And Billy's like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, what do you expect, man? Like, let the boys sleep till noon, the day off, like get home at a decent hour. I don't know if that would have been a good idea either, but
probably not.
We got to go there 3 times a year. So we did that rodeo 3 times a year and then playoffs. And then we played them in the playoffs a couple times. But anyway, it was weird seeing like Mac on a different team when we had, you know, such a group, a good group of guys. But like you said, he was a captain. You were a captain a lot of teams, Mac, and you were certainly a leader with the Phantoms. When we went on that run, we won the Calder Cup that year. Mac had 18 points in 18 games. And I mean, you talk about somebody on fire.
Mac's got the mitts, man.
Oh, dude.
You got the soft mitts.
The best
patience.
This fake slapper, like everyone in the building knew it was a fake slapper, and guys go flying down, and then Mackers just walk right in, make a play or score, whatever, you know, make a pass.
I've seen that unbelievable. A few times.
The fake slapper, we loved it.
Yeah.
Because guys would just fall for it. It was, I mean, you sold it, Mac. You got to teach that as a coach, man.
Yeah,
that's a skilled game, man. Get the skills. So then you landed up in Hershey, I guess, right? After Kentucky?
Yeah. Half a year in Hershey, and then I ended up at Hartford.
What was Hershey like for you being there? Yeah. Like,
it was, I don't know. I didn't like, I was signed by Florida, and it was Colorado's team, right? So it was a split team, but the coach was Colorado. Most of the players were Colorado. And then it was, I didn't like it.
No.
Yeah.
Who was I didn't the get coach? The same.
Was Foligno?
Foligno, yeah. Mike
Foligno. Okay. Yeah. Thought so.
That must have been a little different to be on the other side there. And I think Hershey's one of those places that you kind of like love it or you don't love it. You know, it's like, you have to be like,
if you have, it's sort of like a family community.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You have to all the people that have, that have wives there, a lot of them settle there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. That's true.
But not for me.
Yeah, right. You're like, get me the hell out of here.
Yeah.
That's funny. Oh man. Yeah. So you won the Calder Cup there in 98. Johnny was the captain.
Johnny was the captain. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a
good you guys team, a hell of a man. Team and tough team, man. Hey.
Tough team. Yeah. And a skilled team. We had everything. I mean,
yeah.
Litz was on his A game then, you know, like he was really good. We had Mike Manilock.
That's right. Yeah.
We had
that was the second line. Monty, Mike Manilock, and who was.
Now you see, now you got to call me out. Now I can't. You just said how I remember everything, Riles.
Wow.
It was Whitey and who on the first line?
Darbs. Did you play with Darby?
Darbs, yeah,
Craig Darby. But you had a bunch of 30 goal scorers, and you just had a bunch of guys with 300 minutes close to right, it anyway, you know. just a tough team, man, and a good team and a great group. Billy was funny. Me and Mac always we love AC/DC and there's this one time Mac knows exactly what I'm talking. Well, it's more than one time, but the one time Billy actually caught on, Riles. You know, we didn't have TV timeouts unless we're on TV, which we Phantoms were actually quite a few times, but they still had radio timeouts. And there's a radio timeout, and Billy's like kind of got the guys over, but he's talking because Billy never stopped. You know, he's yelling. He's probably yelling at Brad Watson. He's got all this shit going. So AC/DC comes on. And as soon as it comes on, I look for Mac, right? Cause I like look on the bench and he's not there. So I look on the ice and Mac's got his air guitar going with his stick. Right. And he's got his leg up and he's kind of like doing the Angus Young kick and he's playing the guitar. And I start dying laughing. And I turn to look, and as I turn, Billy's staring at me, just like right through me. And he goes, "That's all fucking you. That's your fault." And I'm like, and I'm like, "What is?" He goes, "That." He points at Mac, and Mac's just playing the guitar. I'm like, "Dude, you got me in so much trouble." And he's fucking losing his mind. It was so funny, man.
What a way to piss off Billy, eh?
Oh, man. He was just mad because we were laughing and shit.
He used to say he hated that. He hated some of the diamond cutters.
The diamond cutters are great. So you got to tell that story. Yeah, Mac,
talk about those.
That was the best.
Well, the diamond cutter, I think Derek probably invented it because Frank was the animal and I was just nobody. I was just, well, I had a little move after I'd fight. I'd do this or something. You know,
yeah, but I saw, I was watching a few move. Today. Yeah, I saw a few today. You used to do that too.
Yeah.
You gotta
step it up a couple notches with the diamond cutter.
Yeah, well, so Nasty, me and him were into wrestling a little bit. We had to pick a good guy, so I like Diamond Dallas Page. I ended up playing Ricky Brennan. His wife is related to Diamond Dallas Page.
No way. DDP Yoga.
Yeah, DDP Yoga.
Boy, did he turn his life around. Wow.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
How many guys is he helping, too?
Yeah,
that's hilarious. The diamond cutter. We were just telling a story today. It was funny. We were beating Cincinnati 7-1, and there's no reason to fight. But it's WrestleMania the next day in the rink, and all the wrestlers are up there.
There's a bunch of wrestlers there. Like
all the wrestlers.
We could pick them out. It was like Edge, Christian, Paul Bearer. Yeah. You should have seen this Paul Bearer. He ate the whole game.
Oh, I bet. Well, look at the guy.
He literally – I should – I don't mean this in a bad way. He looked like Hitch with black hair and a black mustache dyed. You know, like he looked like Hitch kind of. Like
yeah, he does have the same look though, right?
And they were sitting across from us. We had the blue meanie, our buddy beside us.
The Undertaker?
The Undertaker wasn't there, but there were a lot of like names, you know, right? So anyway.
It was there the next day. I got an autograph from Hogan on a Garth Brooks on some puck.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But, yeah, so there's no reason to fight. We're beating Cincinnati 7-1 or something, but I had to because the wrestlers were all there. I just picked this guy. I think his name was Eric LeComp, and I beat him up pretty good. And so then I'm doing the diamond cutters and the sockets and all that.
That was when that shit was huge, man. Yeah. You know, like the Outlaw, you know, Jesse James and all those guys. Yeah. Man.
Oh, man.
And Mac just kept it going, sucking, diamond cutter. Billy's like, "What the fuck is going on?" You know, and we're all going, "Yeah." The wrestlers are up. They're going crazy, man. They thought it was the greatest thing ever.
That's awesome. Was that still WWE back then, or where was
that?
Then?
A little of
both. I think it was both. WCW.
I think they were still WCW. Too.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that's right. It's exactly right. Because we used to, because we would go back and forth. I used to have guys over. Believe it or not, Dan Kordick loved wrestling. He came to my house for the year he played with the Phantoms. He came over for every pay per view. Like he loved wrestling. That's why we called him the Big Sexy after Kevin Nash. We called Cords Big Sexy because he loved wrestling too. But yeah, Diamond Dave McIsaac, there were signs everywhere too. When he started doing a diamond cutter, everybody knew what it was. So it was pretty damn cool, man.
Yeah.
So Mac, you played college hockey. You obviously, weren't scrapping. I mean, you turned pro, and then you realize you just had to, or did you have like a thirst for it?
I grew up in a tough town, so I fought a little bit when I was younger, but then I fought in junior a little bit, and I think my college coach told me, make sure in the first game that you get in a fight.
Yeah.
In pro, yeah.
So I did. So
Mackers, you were at Maine for 3 years, right?
Yeah.
That was your first year when you guys won?
Yeah, I went in 1990, and then I left and played junior for 2 years and came back on scholarship.
Okay. I didn't realize.
The first year I came back was the year we won.
Nice.
Oh, really? So you played with Jimmy Montgomery, who's assistant coach now with Craig Berube in St. Louis, and Paul Correa.
Yeah.
You told a great story today, too. We're out there playing about him going to the net.
Well, no, I led the country in points by a defenseman that year. I'd set up behind my own goal, and he'd come and pick up the puck and go through everybody and score.
And score?
Give an assist, and I'd get the assist. I wouldn't even have to go in the offensive zone.
I meant like when someone was behind the net and they would feed him. Switch how he would
hitter.
Switch.
Switch
he
would hitter. Switch
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. He,
that's amazing.
He'd practice, like, he'd hand-eye juggle every day, and he'd do that in practice every day. He'd take pucks on his forehand, switch him to his backhand, or switch the stick to a right-handed stick and top shoulder.
That's amazing.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, he was a hell of a player.
Not surprising. Yeah, exactly. He's a highly skilled
work ethic. Like no
did he? He worked. Yeah. He worked his ass off. He was. I've heard stories about him. I met him a couple times. I can't say I know him. I was able to meet him obviously a few times, but I know he was very, very anal with his skates and everything like that. He seemed a little crazy that way. But what a player, man.
He just surfs now. He surfs every day.
Is that what he does?
Yeah.
Yeah, down in California.
Yeah.
Max, I know you couldn't really scrap on the ice in college, but I think you have a great story about scrapping off the ice. You got to tell that story. Keep it as clean as you have to, but I mean, you don't have to.
Yeah, Marty probably told you that one. My freshman year, that's his this is 1990. I got in a fight with the guy who was on the football team. So he was a fullback of the football team. Same guy. His name was Steve Knight. He went to the prom with one of my best friend's wives now. That's funny.
No.
Side note.
Anyway,
so the whole football team was after me the rest of the semester. I'd have to carry a tennis racket around campus with me in case the football team ran into me. It's funny.
Tennis racket. Why don't you just carry on the hockey stick? And just...
It was
that's
in my
easier
dorm,
to give
so...
a backhand, yeah, you know? Roger Federer. You're calling Jim Cornette for you youngsters that don't know he was a wrestling guy, too. Carried around a tennis racket and whacked everyone with it. It's funny. I remember Monty telling me that, I mean, way back when your first year, he's like, oh, this guy's a beauty. Because I knew Monty. Because he ended up coming to the Flyers and playing with us the same year Clarkie made the trade for Desjardins and LeClaire. Mm-hmm. So we ended up getting Monty. And then so I knew him a little bit. So then they signed him with the Phantoms. And when, you know, he's like, oh, you're going to love Mac, dude. He's a beauty. And he told me that story. He's like, carried a fucking tennis racket around. With
that's
him.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's fucking great, man. And Snowy, did Snowy play? Did Garth Snow play with you guys?
Yeah. He's him and Mike Dunham were actual goalies.
Oh wow, Dunham!
Pretty good tandem, huh?
That's not bad. Wow.
So then you brought your toughness out to the KHL for a season.
Yeah, I played out there for a year. It was different, but it was fun. It was a lot of stories out there.
Yeah.
I was with this girl at the bar one night. Good story is this guy pulls up to our table and's like, so what do you do for fun? I was like, well, I don't know. I like to golf sometimes. Yeah. So I was like, what do you do for fun? He pulls out a gun and starts playing with the revolver. So there was two mafias in town, and one mafia really liked me. The other one, they didn't really know hockey. This guy was with the other one.
Oh God.
We end up going to the club after, and I'm walking out of the club. This guy's dead with a bullet right in his head. I walked out of the club.
Oh, I remember you did tell me that one. Okay, I didn't know that was. Wow. I didn't realize that was the. Okay.
I don't know what happened, but I assume the first mafia liked me. Must have caught wind that he was playing with a gun near me, and.
No way.
Yeah, wow. I think that's what happened.
He was just laying in the snow, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And what happens when that happens? Nothing?
The cops didn't show up I just walked away, and I don't know what happened. Jeez.
How are you not shitting your pants, man? Like, I don't. Fuck.
You have PTSD from that, man. That's intense. Yeah. Oh,
but the one about it was all run by Mike. It was crazy that league was back then. Ovechkin was still in it. He was playing.
Oh, he was?
Yeah. Just the referees were paid off before the game. So sometimes the teams would be paid to lose on purpose. You know, like the other team would pay the one team to lose because the bonuses were so crazy. If you won two games, you got an extra $5,000 or something.
Oh, I was going to ask you if this could be a dumb question, but is there gambling there? That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, I bet on it right now. I still see the gambling here. But
wow.
But like the players would get crazy bonuses for just stupid. They block shots as a bonus.
Really?
You block a shot, you get $500. Crazy.
Wow.
Jesus.
It's good incentive to get in front of it.
I know, right?
Machine, right?
Yeah.
What made, like, so you played there? Did you only play 1 year there?
Yeah, just 1 year.
Did you just say this? That's enough?
No, well, the team lost. We didn't do very good, and I think they wanted to not bring in Americans anymore. They wanted to bring in.
Yeah. Maybe. I gotcha. Now you could fight though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You could fight. Okay.
No, you got to spend the rest. It wasn't like three fights. You had one fight and you were done. So.
For the game?
Yeah.
Because you had about 100 minutes, 102 minutes, and it was only like.
I think I got in like 30 fights that whole year.
Oh, that was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they brought you in for your Mets?
Did they?
No, it wasn't like when Marassian played there.
It wasn't like that. All right. Yeah, because it evolved into like almost Quebec major.
Well, yeah, like the did you played there as well too? Didn't you? Did you ever go to Quebec and play in that league?
Yeah, I played in that league too. Yeah,
you did.
Was,
yeah,
was that just a weekend thing? They bring you in?
No, I lived up there for two years. Oh, okay. Well, 2.5 years.
Wow,
I played in Quebec and then I went to Denmark and then I played the next year in Italy and then I ended up in Georgia.
Okay, yeah.
You played in all these different leagues, and teams that are run by other bikers or mobsters.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Seeing a pattern here, Mackers.
So I know, right?
I do want to throw in one thing. Ryle's talking about Jimmy Montgomery. I remember him telling me a story, and this is literally before I met Mac and Frankie Bylois the same day, same time. I told the story about meeting Frankie and I was just like, holy shit, who did I just meet? This guy's nuts. But I remember Jimmy Montgomery telling me about Mac, saying you're gonna love Mac. I played with him in college, and he goes, he does this toe drag. So he comes out to the first few practices, I guess before they really get the season going with like real practice. You know how you guys even play shinny and that. And he's like, he's doing these toe drags. And we're like, hey, kid, shit's not going to work here. He goes, worked every time. And it worked in the pros. I never saw Matt get stripped with one. He had the fake slapper. And it was the most slow fucking fake slapper. But his toe drag, never did I see that get knocked off your stick. The puck.
That's impressive.
I'm serious, man. I'm not kidding. But I remember Jimmy saying, he goes, hey, kid, ain't going to work.
I was just talking to Johnny Stevens the other day, and he took a picture with a friend of mine. So I said, Johnny, it looks like you can still play. He's like, no, I got bad hips now or nothing. I said, it's all positioning now. But there was one time when a skating coach came out. I know Riley worked on skating all the time. That's you guys, you that's what made you, right, Ryan?
So, yeah, it was the only thing that kept me around, yeah.
Right, so, but anyway, so me and Johnny are there. We're not the older guys, but Johnny's the older guy, and I'm sort of middle of the pack. But anyways, the Flyers hire the skating coach to come in, and she thinks everyone skates good except me and Johnny. We had to stay extra. <Come on. laughs> It's funny. So she sent us after school to teach us how to skate.
Rambo. Oh, that's funny. He was such a smart fucking player, man. God, he was a mean prick too. And Riles, I think we talked about this before. If anyone touched Johnny, like everyone would go after the guy and he would get so mad. He'd be like, oh, fuck, go. Like Mac may jump in. I remember Jeff Baker, you know, Stapes, Jeff Staples, sorry, Baker. We called him the Baker. He would go try to, cause he usually played with Johnny a lot. And someone would hit Johnny, you know, it's clean hit, but like, you know how it was back then. The game was a little different. You hit someone hard and it's kind of like that now, but guys would go in to fight for Johnny and Johnny would lose his, shit. He was like, I can take up for myself. You know, like,
what do you say in the moment or on the bench after the fact?
He'd come to the bench, be like, no one needs to jump in for me. But Billy would be like, don't let it, you know, Billy was like, we don't need him fight, you know, but Johnny's right. Like, screw that, man. I dig up for myself. And he was tough. He was tough.
Yeah.
Fuck, our whole team just about was tough.
See how intense he was on the bench.
Yeah, he's so intense, man. You know, like, but anyway, yeah, it was Mac had it all. Mac was tough. He had the middies.
Yeah.
Maybe the skating coach didn't like his skating, but.
Yeah.
To be the toe drag king and playing under Billy and not have him have rip your new asshole saying put that tool away, you know.
Oh, he used to rip
tough guys that get popped with dangling at the blue line or something like that. They're like, never do that again. That's not part of your play.
I'll tell you one thing. He loved Mac. He did love him because I heard him talk away from like when he would be giving Mac shit. He gave Mac shit because Mac had fun and we all, you know,
right.
But he knew how good Mac was. But the one time it made me laugh because I can't remember who he was. He may have been talking to a ref or to someone on the phone, but he was always like really hard on Mac. He was always giving Mac shit, but it was like kind of funny, kind of like Mac's like, whatever, you know, whatever, dude. Cause he, like you said, like didn't matter. Like Mac was Mac. And I remember the one time we were playing in that Hershey series and Mac was the best player in the series, hands down. We swept them. And they had beat us a year before in 7 games after we were up 3-1. We went in there and we mopped them up pretty good, but Mac was just on fire. But that's when you got the puck, right? Off the stick?
Yeah, Wiesenberg, yeah.
He got hurt. And I remember Billy going, our best fucking player just got hurt tonight. He was talking to somebody, and I'm like, oh, all of a sudden, he's our best fucking player. He was just, like I said, he had a point a game in the playoffs.
Yeah.
For a defenseman, that's pretty fucking impressive, really damn man.
Good. Yeah,
playoffs are playoffs, man.
Wear the bird cage in the
he had to wear the thing, man. But it was so funny because Billy was always so hard on Mac, and then all of a sudden, he was our best fucking player. It was great, man. But that was Billy. I used to love, I know we probably talked about this before, but Billy, don't say fucking anything. Let's just all stay off the refs. Puck drop. Jesus fucking Christ. Fucking right. As soon as the puck dropped, Billy's like, we're going to lose it. But it was hilarious, man.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Funny. I was reading on Wikipedia that you speak 5 languages. Is that true?
Well, I played in 5 different countries. So Russia, I learned a lot of Russian because they don't speak English there, but Italy, most of the people speak English. You didn't have to learn it, but I know a little bit of 5 languages. Not great enough. Russian, I'm pretty good at.
Really?
That's pretty good.
That is good.
And then for you, are you like, for you to be head coach of the Icelandic national team? I mean, is that part of your heritage? How did you land up?
No, I was looking. I got fired from Louisiana. I was coaching down there, and then I was looking for a coaching job. And one of the guys, his name is Sergey Zak, he worked for the Select program that you guys did the Checking for Charity with.
Okay.
That Mitch Lonard and all them.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He was looking for a coach for the pro team out there. And so I coached the pro. I went there and moved there for 2 years. I coached, there was a pro league out there. I coached the pro team. And the second year, I ended up coaching the national team as well.
Okay, right on. Yeah. You just adopted the language in those 2 years.
Yeah.
Cool. You learned, did you have to learn their language?
No, I everyone in Iceland speaks English, so you don't have to learn
anything. I didn't know that.
Oh, okay. So that's not one of the five.
I had no idea. Well, I can say a couple words in that one. Okay. I count that one, but it's not really.
Oh, man.
They all speak, but they do have a language, though?
They have their own language.
Oh, okay, because I really felt stupid for a second. I thought you were saying they speak English. I'm like, wait, what?
No, everybody has to learn English there, so it's... Some don't speak it as good as others, but everybody knows it.
So Mac, like, going in as a coach now, obviously your new job, do you know anything about your players you have? Like, what kind of, like how you're going to coach as far as, like... You know, do you have a more skilled team or do you not know anything?
I don't really know the caliber. I know how I'm going to coach. I know what worked
right
in hockey games. So it doesn't matter if you coach in 12-year-olds or a pro team. I think it's the same, same philosophy. But I think I just have to learn the caliber when you get there and go from there.
How many players do you carry?
We can carry 22, I think, but I'm not even going to go that high. Maybe I'll stop at 20.
Nice. We were talking this morning a little bit, Mac, about this. So, like, as far as your signings go, you maybe have a handful of guys signed, maybe not, but you're really waiting for, you know, American Hockey League, East Coast Hockey League, trickle down.
Yeah, it trickles down, right? So,
And then you
trickles down. I probably have about 10 guys now from the team from years ago that played there.
Are they, like, college guys that played college and stuff? Is that
A couple Canadian, two Canadian guys, probably played major junior. One guy from around here is from Williamson, Johnny Ruiz. He'll be playing. I just talked to him today. He's going to play in your ball tournament.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. Sweet.
He's on the ball national team too, for the ball.
Oh, wow.
So that'll be
taking Scoot.
I'll stop by and say hi for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. So would you say the majority of the guys like to play in this league are like college, like a lot of college guys?
Yeah, mostly college guys.
Do they have two jobs? Would they have a job or are they doing?
Well, that's because the salary cap's not as big as the Trashers had it. We were there. We got to try and supplement their income a little bit. So we'll have jobs around the rink.
I just wondered how that worked, you know. That's cool, man. And they, so where, what league would pull from you if need be, or can they not?
I still haven't called Danny. He gave me his number. Thank you. I have to call him. I would think that would be logical to send, if he sends guys down to me from Portland, Maine and the East Coast League, then we're only about a 3-hour drive if he needs to call someone back up. So it would be, I think that would be ideal. I don't know if I agree with that or not, but I hope so.
Well, you know, what's funny, Mackers, is a couple of years ago when Danny got into running the team, I just remember as a player and you as a player too, like, and Riley, you too, you know, there's days where you don't agree with what the coach is saying or what they do or whatever. And that's just natural, but it made me laugh because, he was coming in for a Flyers game and I ran into him and I said, oh, how'd you guys do this weekend? He's like, we went, 1-2 or no, we've gone 1-1. We got one more game tomorrow. And he got real serious and he's like, he goes, the coach told me, you know, the guys played hard. They played hard. He goes, I watched the video when I got home. They didn't play hard. He just started losing it. And I said, whoa. I remember times when you were like, just what the fuck's he talking about? We're playing hard. And then he starts dying laughing. I can only imagine you with the shit we used to do. Now you're in charge. I mean, you've been a coach for a long time now, but do you get pissed off at the boys? They're fucking around or what? How do you handle that stuff?
Well, I think when I started coaching, I was I used to grab referees and jump on the ice and do crazy things. But
Danbury.
I think I'm maturing a little more in my coaching.
Calming down a little bit.
A little calmer.
I don't think I'll be as aggressive this year.
I think that's always the challenge, right? And I remember John Stevens, like, you know, when I had him, he was probably different when you play with him, but he was always about like, stay composed. You know what I mean? It's like, maintain your composure. And I get it, you know, right? I mean, it's easy to just like give all your energy away to the ref and all that stuff. So, like, I mean, you are the head of the snake, so you got to, you lead by example, and the guys will hopefully follow you. But I was going to ask.
Referees are going to be bad. It doesn't matter what league you're playing, right?
Yeah,
the
NHL,
they're just as bad. I
expect them to be bad going every game. But the game has changed since you played, obviously. I mean, you said, like, you know, your coaching philosophy, you know, wouldn't change from 12-year-olds to pros. But, like, they say the newer game, you know, guys, like, can move, right? You know, at this level compared to back in the day, it was like there was a lot more slower foot guys that could, you know, can stay in the league. But is there anything changed philosophy-wise for you as coaching strategy? Or is it
I think it's the same. Obviously, you're going to have faster players and going to have to execute at a faster level. But as far as the objectives per game, like, it's hockey's my philosophy is hockey is momentum and momentum within a game, and the little things win hockey games.
Yeah.
Right.
We have objectives that we try to hit every game, and if you hit them, then you usually win. If you don't hit them, then you usually don't.
Yeah, no, for sure. Because I think the one thing I noticed as I moved on from playing and got into coaching and stuff like that, like, I don't remember back when it was the Phantoms and, you know, even the East Coast League was, or Central Hockey League for that matter, like, where they're like set plays in the D zone where it's like, you know, let's win the faceoff back and, like, let's just blow and use our speed and stuff like that. It was more or less like, let's just win it back and, like, have possession, you know. But there's like, I feel like there's so much more of these, like, set plays and just like putting pucks into space because it's so fast.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's this, like,
Talk about Kentucky. I remember playing for Nicky Fatio. Remember Nicky?
Oh yeah, sure, yeah.
Well, he loved to show you videos of him, didn't he?
Oh yeah. But he had a face-off play for every little thing that we did. It was unbelievable. And that actually works, like, a lot of the time.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of it worked, but it was just funny. Like, he'd have face-off plays drawn around the rink before games, and this happens, we're doing this one. If this happens, it's just funny.
Well, it keeps guys, like, engaged. I played for, or I worked with a couple coaches that were really into face-off plays, and, like, yeah, you lose half your face-offs, but everyone's kind of understanding. You lose a face-off, well, where you go? There's always, like, a kind of like a powwow before, and then you win a face-off, and then, you know, everyone's like, go with the weak side. Everyone, you know what I mean? Like, there's something to it.
Yeah,
right?
It worked, like, unbelievable. I think, like, I led the American League in plus minus that year because of faceoff plays.
Oh, no way. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, so I guess that was kind of where I was going. Just, like, there's some, like, little things. Obviously, the game of hockey, there's five dudes out there, you know, five people, five players, and there's only so much you can do within, like, the construct of the game. But I just think, like, using, like, the speed and, you know, some of these more, you know, the game's coached more than it was back in the day too, right? I mean, back in the day, it was like, it was just like, oh yeah, just go and work hard and, you know, score.
I don't think we had video back in the day.
No,
right?
There was no video. There was no.
You're right. Actually.
And then now it's like,
VCR, I mean, tape, you have to fast forward on VCRs.
Yeah. Mackers, real quick, who was your coach when you were in Hartford?
Your boy, too tall there. What's his name?
John Paddock.
Tall was a coach.
Yeah, John Paddock. Yeah.
Oh, nice. He's a great coach.
Buddy, talk about AC/DC. We're in the playoffs, Nasty, and he knows that I do the AC/DC too, right? Somehow.
Yeah.
And so I. He had me do the pump up video for the.
Fucking too tall. I love it.
I actually work with too tall a little bit. I really appreciated his coaching style. He was one of the first guys that was honest about having, like, offensive players. Like, Denny Hamel was one of the guys that he'd coached in Bingo. Coach of the Phantoms. And he's like, you guys got to have a longer leash with these offensive guys. You just got to turn a blind eye to some cheating because they're going to score you 40, 45 goals a year. And I was like, I never heard a coach really be honest about that. Where it's like, you know, like.
But Claude Drew loved him. Loved him.
Well, yeah, he gave you some freedom to make mistakes. It's just, like, there's certain areas of the game where he didn't want you to make mistakes, but there's some that you're okay. It's green light to make mistakes, and I appreciated his attitude towards it. And every so often he had, like, the pre-planned snap show. He's like, today he's like, I'm snapping and I'm kicking everyone off the ice in practice today just to keep the boys guessing. So, you know, he's kind of like grumpy looking and sounding.
It was funny. I was coaching Louisiana, and Homer was supposed to give me a goalie, like. Because he didn't care, as long as the goalie got a lot of shots, and he didn't care if it was the East Coast League or the Southern Pro League, right? He just wanted the goalie to play a little bit. And so the Paddocks vetoed it, so I didn't get my goalie.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He knew you were going to be throwing AC/DC at him, probably.
I got Scott Darling instead, who ended up in the NHL, so it was good.
That's right. He sure did. What a story he was. That's crazy. Oh, man. That's awesome. I was just wondering. I didn't know if it was E.J. McGuire. I couldn't remember who the coach was.
The referee?
No. He was a coach of the
– Oh, yeah. I remember E.J.
He was a really good guy. I thought it was I was going to say if it was him. There was a quick story. The team was – they were struggling a little bit, and E.J. was there. And their equipment guy's name was Mark Dumas. I don't know if you ever met Doomy. He may have been there when you were in Hartford. I don't know. Maybe not.
No, he was
in Bingo forever. But anyway – the team's playing bad and he's just like, I've been preaching and preaching about you guys, like staying focused and we're just losing focus. And I got a couple clips here. So during the game, I guess there's a timeout and, the guys are just kind of like doing whatever. And the camera guy, so he's got the VCR too, like we're talking about. Well, the camera guy like focuses in on the bench and Doomy is at the end of the bench. And you see this chick get up and walk up. And Doomy like turns and he watches her walk all the way up the steps. He goes, stops. He goes, that's focus, boys. That's what we got. that's why I asked if he, who the coach was. Too Tall was awesome too.
And yeah.
I remember EJ told me the story. God rest his soul. He passed away, but he was just a funny guy. I didn't know if he was your coach there or not. Anyway,
there's another story to talk about coaches that passed away. Red Gendron just passed away. Red from Maine, right?
Yep.
But last summer I was home, he told me a story about coming to Philly. He was coaching Albany at the time.
Yep.
And he's like, Mac, you never believe the sign that I seen in Philly. He's like, what would you rather have, $1 million or Rob Skrlak's helmet filled with nickels?
Oh, that is classic. And for guys that don't know who Rob Skrlak is,
just Google him. He's a good dude, too. You got to YouTube him or Google him.
Yeah, he seems like a genuine human.
Skrlak, he's got a big that is funny. Man.
$1 million.
He would laugh at that. You know he would laugh at that. That's fucking great. Oh, man.
Old Skrly.
He was a big man.
Skrly word.
Yeah. He was a big man.
Yeah. Oh, he's
remember
a big man.
Remember that? One other thing. Riley, we had this huge rivalry. It was the year we won. We're playing Albany, and they were fucking tough. They had Sasha. They had all this Skrlak. They had all these guys, man. They were a tough team. Did they have Jansen then, or is that too early? That was later. Anyway, we had Garrett Burnett, and we had this rookie, Andre Payette, who was tough. He was a tough kid, French kid.
Right.
And do you know Pai played until about 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Like he was playing.
He's coaching now too somewhere.
He's got a coaching job. Yeah, I saw that.
So anyway, Pai, what's up, man? I love you, brother. So it was almost the whole Flyers Canadian thing where they were shooting a puck into our net. Well, Bernie, you know, all you had to do is tell boys, be like, Bernie, you can't let them do it. So Bernie used to dip his power bar into Flexol and eat it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not kidding, Riles. Like,
I know. I heard the story.
Dip it in Flexol and eat it. So anyway, Pi's like right there with him, and they're kind of hiding behind like
right after warm-ups,
right? So there's like 8 Albany River Rats out there, and it's their cement, and come down to shoot. So Pi's like, let's go. Bernie goes flying out on the ice. Pi turns around and goes into the room and just says to the boys, Bernie's on the ice by himself.
Let him go.
And he fought. I think he fought Skrlak. I think they fought.
Yeah,
It was great because everyone would give Bernie shit sometimes because like, well, he keeps falling, but there was no one to stop him. So they would fall and get up. Bernie did really well. It was probably one of his best fights as a Phantom because they didn't stop the fight when he fell. But he was a big dude.
Oh, he's a huge,
big human. But it was so funny because Pi's like, I'm right here with you, bro. And as soon as and I'm standing right there with him because I'm like, I don't think it's a good idea, boys, but I'm kind of like pumped that they're going to do it same time. But I'm trying to like, you know, they knew they weren't in the lineup. So
Billy had to go on the ice and drag him off.
Billy went on the ice. It was crazy. It didn't get as nuts as the Flyers Montreal thing, but it was pretty funny.
Tell me why he would put his power bar into the Flexol. I still can't understand that. How does that jack you up?
I remember Chris Felix, our boy Cat. He had him in Binghamton for a short stint, and when we brought him in, He's like, boys, this guy is fucked up. He eats Flexol. We're like, what? No, he doesn't.
It's got to be so bad.
It was that stuff. Yeah,
it's going to eat your insides out. Right?
Yeah. Remember, Kat had that extra hot. Catches. Yeah. We called it the catches. And his shit would burn guys. Like, it worked. Yeah. Like, it was, the guys loved it. And they're like, you won't eat that. Oh, yeah. Right on the power bar. Eat it. Oh, it's not bad. Okay.
What? Yeah,
the guy, he was nuts, man.
He's a little cuckoo.
Yeah.
I saw him a few years ago, Mac. I think I told you I saw him in Vegas.
He just friended me yesterday on Facebook.
So oh, yeah. Okay. So, I've messaged with him. But I saw him. I hadn't seen him for years because remember he got hit in the head in a club in Vancouver. Yeah. And we thought he was dead. Someone said that he was in a coma. But I ended up seeing him in Pittsburgh when I was with the team still. And he actually had a little bit of a slur in his speech from getting cracked like that in the head. And then I didn't see him for years. And I saw him in Vegas because he's working there at a local establishment that I went to see him at. And he looked great, actually. He looked really good. But I look at his hand and it's just scabbed all like almost still kind of open with like salve on it, however you say it, like medicine. Right. He had wrecked his motorcycle, no shirt. So his whole body's scabbed and he's working. He's got a tux on.
Oh,
I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, he goes, it just hurts when I move. I'm like, well, you got to move all night. What do you mean it hurts when you move? I got a great picture. I'll send it to you, Mac, that night.
Yeah.
He looked good, though. He was a really good looking kid. Like, it's a shame. Like, he played a full year in Anaheim.
Yeah.
And the lockout year, they said, okay, go to Cincinnati. Dude, go to Cincinnati and play. Like, you'll probably go back to the team. You had a good year. He had a really good year in Anaheim, fighting wise.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, he was like, oh, no, I'm too good, but I don't want to go back to the American League. Bro, go to the American League and play. Like,
that was it, hey?
And then he never really. Oh, I mean, he played Danbury a little bit, I guess. Yeah. Obviously, but that was NHL. Did he fight, Mac? Did he fight when he was?
Yeah, there? But yeah, I think so. He was only there. He's at the beginning of the year, and by the time I got there, he was gone.
So anyway, but
Burnsy,
crazy man. Shit, Mac. Back in the day, it was a lot different, man. It was so much fun.
Sure, so
much fun. Well, I appreciate your time, Mac.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. This thing. I love your podcast. I listen to most of the episodes. It's fun.
Yeah, thanks, sweet. Man. Appreciate Thank you, that. Brother.
It's been appreciate fun. It. Appreciate you coming on and sharing some.
See you this goodness. Weekend. Yeah, see you this weekend too.
Yeah, well, I'll stop by for sure.
That'd be awesome, man. Should be a good day.
Yep. Could use some insights, some X's and O's.
You might have to get on the bench.
Plays. Yeah.
Set plays.
I'll throw some some change out like Hartley used to do. Give you guys a break.
Yeah, right.
We need a timeout. I know I was dying trying to play one-on-one with numbnuts there.
Oh, man.
Good some grief.
Work. Some work, man.
We got a few days to get in shape, Riggs.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
You sure you don't want to play, Mac?
I'm good.
Big slapper works on feet, doesn't it?
I couldn't get from the goal line to the blue line without playing.
Oh, man. All right, buddy. We do appreciate you coming on, brother.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, guys. Great appreciate it.
See you this weekend, man.
Talk to you soon.
We'll talk to you.
Later.
See you, bro.
All right. That episode was brought to you by SettlemyerSkateSharpening.com. Check out D-Nasty at Settlemyer Skate Sharpening for the best grind in town and all your hockey needs.
Don't forget to ask me about Howie Steele. Oh, Howie's got the steel, boys.
Howie has the steel. Make sure you ask Nask. Get those bad boys on.
My man.
And bodycheckwellness.com. Bodycheck for all your CBD and functional mushroom needs. Rethink recovery. Check it out at bodycheckwellness.com. And a big thank you to Big Mac, Dave McIsaac, for hopping on.
Diamond Dave.
Yeah. It's nice to reconnect. Timing is fitting considering the documentary on Netflix that is trending. And obviously, Big Mac had some firsthand experience there in Danbury.
He's back in Danbury.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I think I've rid just, of him. I just feel like, yeah, I know, right? He played there, coached there. Now he's going back again to coach there. But he was, besides him, the the show is unreal, like, as we've talked about it and that whole experience he went through, that he told us a few of the stories, but he had a really good hockey career. He was a really good player, man. He just, you know, he wasn't the fastest guy, but he had sick mitts. Like,
he
was tough, and he was tough. Great guy. God, great guy. Funny guy. How about the story about the Russian story? Like, might be like, okay, I think I'm ready to get out of here.
Oh my God. How do you bounce back from that? You know, it's like, saw a guy who had a bullet in his head, and let's just go to practice now.
Well, let's just get out of here. Jump in a cab. Yeah. No big deal.
It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. He had some, he's seen it all. I think he's played in all those different leagues and bounced around and international play. And he's got some miles on him.
He does. He does. Great guy, though. Appreciate him coming on, man.
Yeah, it was nice to reconnect and wish him the best in the upcoming season.
Yeah.
I know it can't be an easy job patching together a federal team.
That's right. You and I need to go sit in section 102.
Oh, we got to go to 102.
That would be awesome.
Maybe we can get his owner to pay us a grand each to just go behind there.
just sit there. You can sit behind their bench. I'll sit behind their equipment guy and bang on the door and be like, what's this nerd doing behind me?
Yeah, right. Just taunt him.
Come on, Mac. You can pay us.
Yep.
$1,000.
A little road trip. Danbury.
Yeah. Danbury. Oh, man. That'd be crazy. Anyway, we appreciate him coming on, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. You guys check out that show if you haven't seen it, but check out our episode here. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, that wraps up episode 39. Be sure to tune in next week for episode 40.
Oh.
Yeah.
40.
We're getting there. Big
4-0.
We're creeping.
We're creeping.
So until then, stay safe. We'll see you next week, knuckleheads.
See you, knuckleheads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.